Welcome to Gospel Tangents Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Bennett. We want more people to learn about Mormon history and our work here at Gospel Tangents. I was wondering if I could get your help. We'd like you to give us a 5-star review on Amazon or on iTunes. Then take a screenshot of your review, send us an email to gospeltangents@gmail.com, and we'll send you a free $3 transcript or $3 off one of our longer transcripts. That way more people can learn about us and you can get a transcript. Please help support us here at Gospel Tangents and help spread the word. Thanks. The vision of Elijah is one of the most important church history events in all of the Doctrine and Covenants. It's the vision where Elijah came to Joseph and Oliver and restored the sealing power. Did you know that Joseph was sealed to his first plural wife, Fanny Alger, a year or two prior to that? We asked Dr. Mark Staker how to explain that, and I think you'll find his explanation very interesting. Let's listen in on our conversation. You know, there's the question about Fanny Alger and whether she was sealed to Joseph as a polygamous wife. That would have occurred before this sealing, is that right?
The sealing before Elijah appears.
Right.
It occurs before Elijah appears. I believe that Joseph Smith receives from Peter, James, and John all the authority that he needs, including the sealing power, that he holds all those through Peter, James, and John. What Elijah brings is keys to enact those sealing powers on behalf of other individuals. That doesn't mean that Joseph can't use that same authority on his own behalf. He can't seal himself to Fanny. Now, he has somebody else, at least Moses Hancock suggests that Joseph has a member of the Hancock family marry him and Fanny, but we don't know all the details of that and how Joseph would have sealed himself to her or not, and so I can't really say more than that, other than that I don't think that saying, well, Joseph was sealed to her before he had the sealing power, holds up, because I think he received all that authority from Peter, James, and John long before. He just received the keys after. Now, does that mean he could enact a sealing beforehand? Well, apparently, because he does that with Fanny, at least, you know, even non-Mormon, you know, former Mormons, that the church suggests that Joseph was sealed to Fanny, or that, you know, that they had married each other, and but what that all means, I don't know.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that clear back in 1830 or so, when Peter, James, and John came, then not only did they restore the Melchizedek priesthood, but they restored the sealing power to Joseph only.
Yeah, what Peter, James, and John bring are the keys of the the apostleship and the keys of the apostleship, but they restore all the priesthood authority that Joseph needs as an apostle of Jesus Christ, which is all the authority that we hold today. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have the keys of resurrection, for example, or if we do, they're not enacted. You know, we can't resurrect people from the dead because we don't have those keys, but we do have the keys of sealing authority, which allows us to use the priesthood in that context. But the priesthood already came earlier. So Peter, James, and John brought that priesthood authority.
Okay, and so then when Elijah came in 1836, you're saying he restored the keys of the sealing, which allowed Joseph to essentially seal others? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they allowed Joseph to direct his authority on behalf of others, because the keys provide the ability to direct priesthood on behalf of people. But they aren't the priesthood itself. Keys are not equivalent to priesthood. Joseph held the priesthood already.
I was talking with Dr. Bennett at BYU, and I mentioned that that revelation wasn't known for about 40 years after that. Why do you think that one was kept quiet for so long?
Well, there are Joseph did mention it orally, and I mentioned in my book a couple of people later remembering, you know, Marianne Stearns remembers her mother taking her up to the pulpit there in Kirtland and saying, this is where Joseph said this happened. So he did, but people didn't rush out to write all this stuff down. They weren't as good at, you know, writing down everything as maybe happens today. And Joseph dictated, right after it happened, he dictated the whole account to his scribe, who wrote it down carefully in his journal, and it was there. But it wasn't published until after Joseph's death, long after his death, when the Latter-day Saints got out to Utah, that they published that first in the Deseret News newspaper, and then eventually it was drawn into the Doctrine and Covenants. But during Joseph's life, he didn't share it in detail. I have my theories as to why that's the case, but they're just speculation on my part. But my feeling is that when Peter, James, and John appeared to Joseph Smith and restored the Melchizedek priesthood, that it was to be a confidential event, that they taught him things and gave him instruction that he was to share with no one, and that was only to be shared within a certain sacred context. And when Joseph Smith's building the Nauvoo Temple, he talks about, when the temple is finished, I will share with you some of these details. But he talks about restoration of the priesthood. You know, as the temple's being finished, and he's there in front of the temple, he holds a meeting, and he has reads a prepared sermon. Actually, he's sick, and his scribe has to read it for him. But he's talking about, he's drawing on that Peter, James, and John experience, but doesn't feel that he can share it all. I think that because Peter, James, and John and what happens in the Kirtland Temple with Moses and Elias and Elijah are all so intricately tied together, and I think that they all have temple connections, that Joseph Smith doesn't share that information at that time. He's waiting until the Nauvoo Temple is built to share that, and he's not around, you know, when that's finally dedicated, and so it doesn't happen. That's all speculation on my part, and I have no idea what the truth is.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Staker. We'll continue to talk about this visit from Elijah, and we'll talk about Elder Bednar's 2011 General Conference talk, where he talked about the spirit of Elijah in relation to genealogy work. How does the sealing power relate to genealogy work? How did baptism for the dead come about? Dr. Richard Bennett will talk about the inspiration for those visions and for that revelation in the Doctrine and Covenants. I hope you'll come back and listen.
The Presbyterian minister saying that Alvin had lost his soul because he had died without these blessings and ordinances did not go very well with Joseph Smith Sr. It's reasonable to suppose that this was a factor, but it's impossible to prove that. It is certain, though, that Joseph Smith Sr. himself is sick and dying in 1839 before Joseph Smith reveals baptism for the dead. And he dies within days or a few weeks of the announcement. And Joseph Smith is clearly thinking about his father and perhaps of Alvin. So you wouldn't want to dismiss this as immediate factors for it. But you can't say for certainty yet.
For more information, please subscribe on our website, gospeltangents.com, where you can get a transcript. You can also get one at amazon.com for just $3. Please subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, or other podcast application, and give us a review so that others can find us. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you continue to support us here at gospeltangents.com.